expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Pruse. My format on Mondays is usually business economics, but this is going to be my political week. Well, I'm going to start out with gubernatorial candidate, Mayor Charlie Pierce. Then this afternoon, I interview Governor Walker, and I'll play him next Monday. Tomorrow, I have Governor Dunleavy on. Wednesday, I have U.S. House candidate Nick Begich III on. And on Friday, I'm going to be, it's all about Friday, and I've got three people in here, and we're going to talk about the reunions that they've come up to for Fairbanks. Everyone comes up around the midnight sun for a class reunion. Mayor Pierce, how are you doing, sir? Good seeing you.
You got me on
there. I got you on there now. Okay. Yeah, sometimes on the weekends they mess with me and they change all these buttons.
Play with the switches.
I know. There's a lot of switches on this board. And they don't allow me to touch most of them. That's a good thing.
I always wanted to try to run the board.
Oh, boy. Sometimes I hit it out of the park. Other days, like today, you start out a little bit slow, but then you get better. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
It's great seeing you again. You've been on the show here before.
We have.
You know,
it's good to be back into Fairbanks.
Well, you came at the right weather, that's for sure.
It's gorgeous outside.
Yeah, a little bit smoky, but, you know, a little bit warm, too. So
the last time I was here, you had ice and snow and a little cold weather. And, you know, it's good to see the landscapes of Fairbanks and how green and how beautiful it is.
This is why I don't leave from May through October. Right. This is why I stay for the Fairbanks summer and the Fairbanks fall.
You bet.
You know, we have winter, we have summer, winter, fall, and breakup.
right. Called Alaska.
Yeah. And now there's two other seasons. There's winter and construction season. We're also in construction season, so they overlap a little bit.
You know, I remember I moved up in 1975, and I remember that summer they were working on Tudor Road in Anchorage, and there was bumper stickers out that said, I drove Tudor Road, right? And I remember thinking that all these dump trucks will be done soon. And every summer since 1975, I have followed dump truck after dump truck after dump truck, and we're still working on our roads, right?
Yeah,
and
construction season.
It's just a construction season.
What's it like living in Kenai when they're working on the Seward Highway?
You know, lots of stops.
Yeah.
Stops and starts. And you know, but the highway's gotten very great improvements along the way. It's a good drive now. Really, really enjoyable drive.
Well, jumping into it, you know, you have a issue, and I want to hear what your thoughts or response is. You have a big issue down on the Kenai with your king salmon return.
Sure.
You don't even get to catch and release now.
No, that's true. And you know, I think it's probably 5 years too late.
Yeah.
For that decision to come. I said long ago that we should shut down and stop fishing the king salmon in the Kenai River. There was a time when we used to get somewhere between 30,000 and 40,000 kings in the first run in May, and most of those kings were the larger ones.
Yeah.
They you could commonly catch a 60, 70-pound king.
I caught a 50-pounder.
Early morning,
yeah.
And you know, go out early morning, and you could have it processed and in your freezer before you went to work that day, you know, and a great, great experience. You know, we had the Kenai River Classic. They used to go after the kings.
Yeah.
I cooked at that event with InStar's barbecue grill for about 14, 15 years. And so I watched Ted Stevens, and he was kind of the chair of that event. And he would bring congressmen and senators from all over the United States to those events. And, you know, generally what happens behind a barbecue grill is there are samplers, right?
Yeah.
And we did some amazing, we had some amazing food that was prepped for us, and we would cook it, and good fellowships along the way.
You know, I'm a foodie, and what I learned real fast, if you're the cook, and you're outdoors at a grill, everyone's going to say hello.
I know, they do.
So you
they
did. Everyone said hello to you, didn't they?
So we had lots of good conversations right there in the back of the grill. And, you know, back to the fish, and it really is about the fish. For me, I want to protect the fish.
Yeah.
And so the decisions that we come up with in my administration will be focused on fish, protecting the fish. And we need to really come together as Alaskans and recognize that if we're ever to experience what we have experienced in the past, that we're going to have to put up with some hardships to get back to where we were, if we can. So where I'm coming from is there will be the smartest biologists sitting at the table making those decisions.
You know, it seems like we have some very incredible biologists work for the state of Alaska.
We do.
But then politics gets in the way.
Right. Right.
And one of the funniest things I ever heard, a biologist gave a talk at, I think it was a Rotary or something like that up here. And this is in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And Governor Tony Knowles was the governor. Mm-hmm. And this biologist, she gets up and she goes, you know, I've worked for governors with brains and I've worked for governors with balls, and this governor has neither. And she brought down the house when she said that. It was just the funniest thing I ever heard. And I've said it on the radio before,
but she just
brought down the house. And
we have to care about the fish.
Yeah,
I mean, it's about the fish. We either have them, or they'll go into extinction, and we will talk about what the way it used to be. And you know, for me, I have a lot of hope, and I've always said hope is not a plan. Hope is not a good plan. So we'll put a good plan together, a real solid plan that, yes, will create some hardships, but necessary hardships in order to protect the fisheries.
What I like about you, is as a candidate and as a person and as a mayor, and what you can bring if you are elected, is your fiscal responsibility and sense. When you first got elected, they were wanting you to raise taxes.
Right.
And you said, no, give me a year. Let me work on the budget.
Right.
And you were able to balance it and do other things that were needed without raising taxes.
I have been successful, and the modeling would show that we are in a good position through 2025 on the Kenai Peninsula for no mill rate increases. In fact, this last week, our budget was approved, and we have a 0.2 mil decrease in property tax. I didn't expect that, right? I'll take it.
Yeah, our local mill rate is going down because our values jumped so high.
Right.
the overall spending went up.
Right.
The overall taxes you're paying are going up because of our vast increase in valuation.
So when you look at the borough, Kenai Peninsula Borough, the cost spending that's going up is caused by workers' comp insurance, buying workers' comp insurance. And if you look across the state of Alaska, everywhere, every business has work comp insurance, and they're all going up. They're taking more money out of your pocket.
Yeah.
And my plan for that is to perform better, right? When you have fewer incidents, your ratios come down, and the insurance companies look at you at probability of having an injury or an accident, and they can sell it to you at a more affordable rate. And really, that needs to be the goal. Starts with the state, filters down to many of the smaller businesses, and in our borough, we're in the mix too. We certainly haven't performed very well there, but I've tried to create a safety culture within the organization. We have 300 employees of the borough. We're also matched with the 1,500 school district employees, and we buy the insurance under one umbrella. The other cost factor that's going up is healthcare insurance. Healthcare used to be around $18,000, $20,000 an employee. Today it's up to $30,000 an employee. And then the cost of just the general cost of doing business. I had 2 years as mayor where we had zero growth in government, zero growth in government. And what I would say to you is that my team has put together a model that basically looks at spending We've avoided travel, and we've had as many as 30 vacancies throughout the year, and that creates some lap spending as well. Really, there's kind of a real challenge out there in the workforce today in finding people that want to work. We've moved into the concept of remote workers, and we're writing a script or a job description for those folks that can work remotely. And who would have ever thought in government that you would write a job description for a remote worker?
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I have Charlie Pierce, Alaska gubernatorial candidate, in the studio with me. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. You have questions for us, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Supply Company on Van Horn Road, the only Alaska-owned full-line wholesale distributor of plumbing, heating, industrial piping, waterworks, and mining products for over 30 years. Online at frontiersupply.com.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Sam Brabant, you came to Valdez, you had several days, did a great job fishing, caught a big fish. If someone were to ask you about fishing in Valdez, what advice would you give them? How to prepare and then where to go? We're looking for your secret spot.
Well, like any good fisherman, you know I can't share my secret spot. But the things that I would share that worked really well for us was we were fishing bait. So we have 2-pound lead weights with circle hook and herring on it. And another thing that we found was kind of successful was we were catching some Pacific cod as well. And so we'd get the Pacific cod and we fillet them right on the boat there. And then we would take the carcass and we'd use our deep water release to bring that Pacific cod back down to the ocean. And we'd caught probably 10 to 15 cod, and we're putting those carcasses back down where we were catching them and then coming back the next day. And 2 days we caught halibut and 2 days we didn't catch halibut. And the 2 days that we caught halibut were the days after we had chummed the waters with our peacod catch. And then the other thing that we noticed was playing to our hand was any kind of shelf that's right next to some really deep water, that's where we were catching the halibut. So a shelf in about anywhere from 100 to 200 feet of water right next to a really steep drop-off was seeming to be where they were hanging out.
Hi, this is Donna Waller of Easy Freeze in Valdez. I would like to encourage all you folks to give Easy Freeze a try. You spend a lot of time and effort catching your fish in Valdez. So why not vacuum pack and freeze them at Easy Freeze so they will stay fresher through the winter? I used to do it myself, and there is a big difference. Give Easy Freeze a try. You'll never go back.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Frontier Supply Company. Sure, they're big enough to handle the supply needs of pipelines and gold mines, but they're personable enough to help you with your needs as well. Frontier Supply Company, for all of your plumbing and heating needs. On Van Horn Road, online at frontiersupply.com.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 75. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Slight chance for scattered storms, 53. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 72. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In the studio here with gubernatorial candidate Charlie Pierce, mayor of Kenai Peninsula Borough. And if you have a question or a thought for Mayor Pierce, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And, you know, sometimes the conversations we have when we're not on the air are unique and incredible. And let's just revert back to that, your philosophies on federal government and state of Alaska.
Right. Yeah. You know, a lot of our independence has been strapped to the federal dollars that we receive. Federal dollars that come into the state generally have a conditions applied to them.
Yes.
And so you must do this or do that in order to receive these dollars. And over the years, Alaska has become more dependent on federal aid and federal support than being an independent state, being able to go out and thrive on their own and promote small businesses and the private sector economy. And, you know, you look at the spending and you look at our savings that we have, and we're unique. I mean, we got $80+ billion in the bank, where most states can't say that. But even having that, there is a huge mountain that we need to climb. And Mike, the question that I find myself in is the challenge is how do we climb that mountain and succeed and continue to grow at a healthy pace,
mm-hmm.
private sector growing at a healthy pace, small businesses thriving, and then our state being able to go out and produce what we were given at statehood, is the rights to go out and to drill and to extract and to develop our land. And every time you turn the corner, there is some federal overreach or some federal position that is placed upon us. Look where we're at today. Look what the federal government has done to Alaska in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And if that does not shake you in your boots, then I don't know what else can.
What haven't they shut down?
What haven't they shut down? They've tried to, I mean, Cook Inlet, we're getting ready to do some lease sales out in Cook Inlet, and they just announced, you know, the Biden administration announced, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. You know, hydrocarbon is not a friend of the Biden administration, but yet we have a pipeline that runs through this state that has brought so much wealth and so much, put us in an advantageous position, and yet it's 2/3 empty, and I see this state standing by and locked up, and I question why we're not hearing more during the legislative sessions about trying to fill the other 2/3 of that's empty. And, you know, we talk about revenue. If we're going to spend, you know, the administration has been quoted recently of saying that Alaskans kind of feel like the spending levels are where they need to be. And if that in fact is the case, then if you look at the budget, if you didn't have the $112 to $114 barrel oil currently in this state, you didn't have the federal infusion of cash that's coming into this state in the way of funding, you would have $1 billion+ deficit. And then all of us could stand up and look in the mirror and say, how do we sustain ourselves with that $1 billion deficit? You know, it's real money.
Mm-hmm.
It really is real money, and those zeros behind all those numbers are real zeros.
Yeah.
And we are, as Alaskans, the 750,000 of us that are here, are responsible for making sure that we can pay the cost of whatever we're spending or buying. And there's not enough of us, frankly, to cover the cost. And when you look at it, there's 300,000 of us, 350,000 of us that are working,
yeah,
that are actually working. So you talk about, well, we're going to tax you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to tax
everything.
Me. Yeah, that's right. And so it goes back to it, you know, it's about leaving a dollar that you don't have to, that you can save is a dollar you don't have to collect. So I think the first thing we do is we go into the budgets, and we go into Alaska, and we look at the things that we must fund, the things that we have to fund in order to sustain ourselves, that we're obligated,
mm-hmm.
And then look at the other things that are outside of that we're doing. And I think as governor, that's the first thing I'm going to do is try to identify those categories, box it up, and put it in front of the people and say, look, here's where we're at. And we have to prioritize as a group as to what really is important to us. And, you know, I don't believe it's responsible. You're not going to see me go in and do this real aggressive, drastic change along the way. I think we need to be very methodical. I think there was a working group that came up with a lot of good ideas from the legislature that came out. They worked for a week, met for a number of weeks, and really identified.
Special session number,
yeah. And they identified a lot of the stuff that we need to focus on.
And the legislature implemented zero of it.
That's right. That's right. This governor's going to use a lot of it. We can't ignore it. You can no longer ignore it. I love Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the people of Alaska. We have great people that want to live here in this state. But if we're going to sustain ourselves and create this quality of living that we are accustomed to, we're going to have to do some things that might be a little restrictive and contract for a period of time. My question is if the spending is where it's at, then perhaps we need to find more revenue. And how do we do that? How do we go out and find more revenue? I would think that we have the perfect opportunity to try to fill a third of that pipeline back up with oil, generate some more oil. How do we do that? How can we generate more oil? Well, we've heard from Alaskans that say, well, all of these tax credits that we're giving the oil companies is taking dollars away from us and putting more of a burden on us than the oil companies. One of the things I learned a long, long time ago by watching the administrations in this state, I've been here 47 years, and watching the other previous administrations and what works, and I look at some of the other states, what works in Texas, what works in Oklahoma, it works when you have relationships. And what you have to start with is relationships with those people that you're relying on and you're counting on the most. Oil companies, they're our neighbors. They live here too. They have a right to produce here, or they also have a right to not produce, right? They can leave that resource in the ground and wait us out, or they can produce a little bit more. Well, one of the things I always looked at and kind of thought about, and I don't understand why we're not talking about this, is longer terms on tax policy. So longer term on a tax policy. Give that oil company or that investor longer terms on the on the agreements. I'm not saying that we necessarily lower the tax burden. We might, but we might not. We might need to increase it, but I'll put a team of individuals, analysts together to look at these issues and to think about what it would take to get more oil into that pipeline. I'm interested in hearing about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you're governor, you know, I would just say, okay, look, I'm here at least 4 years.
Right.
And if I see any tax change come out, whether better or worse, right, this is what we're doing. So we're consistent. If it's you're trying to increase it or lower it, I'm vetoing it.
Right.
That
right.
way we show consistency.
That's true. Taxes are regressive.
Yeah.
In my mind, taxes are regressive. They stagnate your economy. What I want to do, every dollar that I can save internally through the operations of government,
yeah,
is a dollar I don't have to collect to you from yeah. you.
And I just look at them and say, okay, if you're going to increase taxes here, do you have 45 votes to overturn a veto? So don't bother.
That's right.
Don't put us through it.
That's right. That's exactly right. You have to have a relationship with your lawmakers.
Yeah.
You must,
yeah,
as governor, go in and break bread with your lawmakers, mm-hmm, and have an understanding, a mutual understanding. Agree to disagree when you need to.
Yeah.
Do it respectfully. Always do it professionally. But at the same time, look for results. We have to produce results for Alaskans. We have to do what is in the best interest of Alaskans. Not special interest,
mm-hmm,
Alaskans. We have to start putting Alaskans first.
Yeah, you know, it gets interesting with the pressure put on some of the legislators down there from the different special interests.
Sure.
And
the hallways are filled.
Yeah, what I always learned, you know, when I first started doing public service and you have a vote on something, be who you are, be what you are, and be consistent in what you are. And then you're not going to have people trying to influence you to do something you're not willing to do.
Right.
And it just, you know, I remember my first vote, it was unique on the planning commission, and everyone was looking at me this first meeting, and how am I going to vote on this? And I said, well, this benefits the homeowner. It doesn't benefit any of the surrounding, it does not hurt any of the surrounding properties, and the borough attorney is against it, but it helps everyone, and I'm voting for it.
Right.
Anyway.
So you could say that you were probably predictable.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, my time in government, the time I've served in government, I've been told you're very predictable.
Yeah,
there.
That's
you're
what people want.
Yeah. You don't have to guess where I'm going to go with you. You know how I'm going to protect your individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
You can guarantee that when someone tries to infringe on your Second Amendment rights, that I'm going to stand up as governor and say, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. We have a right to
assemble, bear arms,
and protect
freedom
ourselves.
Of speech. Yeah.
And protect ourselves.
Yeah.
So health care issues, when it's time to take care of us on a health care issue, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to protect your individual rights.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. I'm going to leave you with some Doors bumper music, L.A. Woman. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
January 6th hearings today focusing on election night and election results. Former Attorney General William Barr, in a pre-recorded interview regarding former President Trump's claims that Dominion voting machines were rigged.
I thought, boy, if he really believes this stuff, he has, you know, lost contact he's become detached from reality.
The committee trying to prove then-President Trump incited the violence at the Capitol. Some Republicans calling the entire investigation politically motivated. Recession fears pushing markets down worldwide. The S&P 500 plunging into so-called bear market territory, dropping 20% below a record set early this year. Prices on everything from bonds to Bitcoin dropping as speculation rises on more aggressive action by the Federal Reserve to get inflation under control and the risk of recession. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska elections officials have released initial vote counts in the special primary for the state's only U.S. House seat. The tally released included 108,729 votes. Initial results showed Republican former Governor Sarah Palin with 29.8% of the votes counted so far. Republican Nick Begich has 19.3%, Independent Al Gross has 12.5%, and Democrat Mary Pattola has 7.5%. Republican Tara Sweeney had 5.3%. The election was conducted primarily by mail, and election officials planned several days of ballot counts. The top four candidates will advance to an August special election once the election is certified. Fire officials Sunday said the East Fork Fire was within 3.5 miles of St. Mary's, even though it had moved 1.5 miles closer to the Yupik community since Saturday. Fire managers said the progress had slowed somewhat because of favorable weather conditions. Firefighters are working to strengthen primary and secondary fire lines, protecting St. Mary's and the nearby communities of Pitkus Point and Mountain Village and properties including cabins between them. About 150 people have voluntarily relocated to Bethel.
At KFAR660.com.
I'm but a humble septic tank. I spend my entire life buried in my family's yard. No pressing schedule, no busy social life, and I like that just fine. I work much harder come the holidays visiting family and friends, you see. I have no need for calendars. My family marks my one important social obligation each year on their calendar. When Bigfoot Pumpin' Thorn pumps me out, just once a year helps me live longer and serve my family much better.
Honey, you want to come out? I haven't seen you since Glass Doctor installed our custom shower enclosure.
No thanks.
Well, you can't keep eating breakfast in the shower. And laminating your magazines is getting expensive. You remember we have guests coming over tonight, right?
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to see the shower.
It's our neighbors, and I highly doubt they want to be hanging out in our bathroom.
The shower's so good, you'll never want to leave. Visit GlassDoctor.com today and schedule an appointment online.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
For you, the road is where you find it. Choose the tire that meets the demands of Alaska's snow, water, ice, and gravel year-round. Choose the Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service, and go where your imagination goes. AT Revo 3 never compromises its dominating off-road performance or its quietly controlled, civilized ride on the road. For your light truck, SUV, and CUV, ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushing.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Mayor Charlie Pearson. Listen to me this coming Saturday, 5:30 to 6 on Fairbanks Foodies, as the commercial said, and you're going to be hearing many good recipes for Midnight Sun Day Ventures in Food. Mayor Pierce, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
You know, one of the biggest assets that the state of Alaska has is the Permanent Fund. And at times, a Permanent Fund corporation, it giveth and it taketh away.
They do. The corporation, it was established in to monitor, manage, and manage the investments of the Permanent Fund. And they've done an amazing job. I think they've done a good job. Where I think we've fell short is in the years when you look at the – I saw the a spreadsheet not too long ago, or a chart, a Gantt chart of how we spent, how we've been spending versus our earnings over the years. And, of course, you could see where our spending was significantly higher than our actual revenue or earnings, and we've outspent ourselves to a point now where we've created this huge deficit in this state. And I think that the legislature of the last 6 years anyway, if you go back 6 years, they really kind of locked themselves into a position where, look, if there is no will to lower the cost of doing business in the state, delivering services, government services in the state, paying for just about everything, you know, roads and facilities and just processes in the state to deliver the things that we do in government. I think that it's evident to me that the board, the corporation, they have a lot of influence on a lot of the decisions that are made in this state, and specifically with the legislatures. And so I think that there is a group there that have been schooled and tooled up to recognize that if there is no will to adjust your spending to a point where it is in line with your revenue in this state, then the only option is to use the earnings of the PFD. And so that's where we get into the fight of, well, wait a minute, we're shareholders, and by statute, we are entitled to a share, and there's a formula related to that share, and you need to follow that. Legislators need to follow that. Well, if they followed it, the thought is that there's not enough dollars in the bank. We've used the reserve accounts,
and this year, they had enough to start replacing the reserve account. They refused to do that. Oh, no, we're not. That way we don't have to, you know, go get a 75 supermajority to break into the bank again. Oh, no, we're not doing that. Oh, and yet they were supposed to do that, but oh, no.
Again, it's back to, for me as governor, it's follow the law.
Yeah.
At a minimum, we follow the law. And if you don't like the law, you change the law.
Yeah.
And so we have a an attorney general in this state, and my influence on that individual would be heavily placed upon, let's always follow the law and do it right.
Yeah.
And, and again, the administration could put a proposal before the lawmakers to help them get to a point where we could create a lawful PFD is where we need to get.
What you can get there is what I would say is budget certainty.
Right.
And what they do is they use the PFD as a stick and a carrot to certain lawmakers, and they don't do it till the end. And, you know, again, you're using this, you've weaponized the permanent fund dividend.
You have. And what you've done is you've created this comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
And what I've always said about government is large fund balances only do one thing. They prevent you from being responsible. They take away all conservatism, and they take it away from all party members, regardless of where your heart lies and what your philosophical beliefs are about government. Large fund balances do what? They encourage more spending. So that's where we need the PFD and the lawfulness of the rules in the Constitution. We need to lock it so that, you know, as the world turns and as people serve and as we rotate through various mindsets, you can't change that. That's certainty. We need to have certainty in that so that there's some boundaries placed around that. And then when you have that, then you know what you can and can't do. It creates some certainty for you and gives you some direction as to what you can afford to do and where you go. But right now, we can pretty much do anything we want. We can spend more of the PFD. We can spend your share. And, you know, we heard the 75-25 split. We've heard the 50-50 split. And, you know, and then you've heard a judge in the state of Alaska say, well, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow that statute because the legislature is the body that appropriates, and they get to decide how much money that they're going to spend in any given year. And so it opened up a Pandora's box, and here we are 6 years later.
Still fighting over it.
Still no closer to getting a resolve. And the fact of the matter is there's infrastructure issues that we have in this state that are just growing by day that we can't make decisions on. We got educational issues, and we can't even pass a bill to – we just now passed the read by nine, and it's there's a lot of uncertainty as to whether it will be effective or not. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to encourage that – all teachers that teach reading teach their kids how to read by nine. And I, again, all we ever hear is, well, you need more money, more money, more money. What I would say is that if you look at all organizational structures in the state, you go to the University of Alaska, you look at the educational, the 1 through 12 group, and you look at the administration that they have, the overhead that's in administration, how many leaders do you need to lead? I mean, how many do you need? And again, you look at in the private sector, what creates success and failure of a business is, and you manage your overheads very, very closely. And generally speaking, you don't have a lot of administrative overhead in businesses that truly thrive and
lean
work.
And mean.
Lean and mean. And so I'd say is that we need to adopt some different rules, encourage people that are close to retiring to retire, and to allow us to set the table, reset the table, fix the model, if you will. And so, you know, I get a headache when I think about all the dots that need to be connected,
mm-hmm.
but I'm thinking about them. And you know, and my heart, my head's behind the issues, and I'm a guy that is determined to see good results at the end of the day. And you know, I had a leader one time and always told me, remember, worry about how it looks. Remember how you want it to look and how you want to feel about yourself and about others at the end of the day. And I'll do that as governor. But I think what you'll find from my administration, both Edie Grunwald and myself, is that we're determined to make a difference. And the difference we want to make is better. We want to make the state a better place to be. We want some resolve. We want to fix the PFD. We want the lawmakers. We want to develop working relationships with the lawmakers so that we can sit in the room and have some dialogue about how the world turns and how it should turn and what is in the best interest of all Alaskans.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. If you have a question for gubernatorial candidate Mayor Charlie Pierce, give us a call. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, listen up. Independent Rental has everything you need to get this summer's project done quick and easy. This month's spotlight is on our Kubota skid steers, with the best rates in town at $275 per day. We have all sorts of attachments, including trenchers, augers, forks, along with our standard buckets. Reserve yours now. You can pick it up for yourself or we'll deliver. Please check us out on Facebook and enter to win a variety of prizes in our weekly contests. Independent Rental, 2020 South Cushman. We're here to help.
Your miraculous eyes connect you to your world. Every moment, every task, every day of your life. They gather the light, the movement, and colors and bring your life into focus. They even express your deepest thoughts and feelings. Protect them. Call the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians, providing medical and surgical eye care, fashion eyewear, and prescription lenses. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
What's a bivy stick? Well, it's communication to anyone in the world from anywhere in the world at your fingertips. The bivy stick is the smallest and simplest Iridium global satellite communication and tracking device in the world. Alaska's a big state, and sometimes you're just not in cell phone range when the unthinkable happens. The bivy stick turns your cell phone into a satellite communication device. It has global satellite coverage via the Iridium satellite network anywhere you have a view of the sky, a comprehensive feature set including two-way text messaging, location sharing, one-touch check-in, and detailed weather reports straight to your cell phone via satellite. Take it everywhere and communicate from anywhere in the world. Plus, it's really affordable. It's less than one-third the price of a satellite phone. This would make the perfect Father's Day gift or birthday gift for the outdoor enthusiast. Check them out today at Arctic Fire and Safety on 30th Avenue. No activation fees ever, and the most flexible Iridium subscription plans, and did I mention it's less than one-third the price of a satellite phone? The Bivvy Stick, available at Arctic Fire and Safety on 30th Avenue.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for isolated thunderstorms today. Otherwise, more clouds and sun. Daytime highs approaching 76. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows level off around 53. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. 75. Cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Charlie Pierce, gubernatorial candidate, mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. You have a long campaign. You've had a long campaign. You're not part of a special election with 47 people, including mythical characters.
Right.
But I believe there's 9 of you running.
Right.
It's on ranked choice voting. How are you preparing for that, or what sort of review, or how does that guide what you're trying to do in an election and campaigning?
Well, first I want to say that running for any office is probably one of the longest job interviews a person will ever experience in their lifetime. And
yeah,
campaigning is not something that I love doing. It's, you know, I'm more, the eagerness that I have is that I'm ready to go to work. I want to go to work and start making a difference because I recognize what my capabilities are, and I believe that my experience and my track record has been to work through people to get results. And how am I running this campaign is kind of in two parts. You have the primary, and in that primary you get to vote for one individual, and that one individual then, if they obtain the greatest number of votes, the top four, go on to the general election. And then you have a separate, and so I've broken it into two parts, really. And so I'm focused on the primary, and I'm running every day like I'm in last place, and I consider myself to be in last place. And I'm a very humble man. I'm very pragmatic. I'm determined. I'm honest. And what I would say to you is that as a governor, the last thing I would ever want to do is take on this job and then disappoint you, be a real big disappointment to the state of Alaska. I love Alaska, and I love the people of Alaska. And again, it's a unique place to be. And I think there's a lot of folks here that also think that same way. We need leadership in this state in the worst way. I think that one of the things I learned a long time ago in my career was that a lack of making a decision is a decision. And one of the things I see today in Alaska is a lack of a will to make a decision. And we sit on our hands. And what we do is we're allowed to do that because we have an asset in this state that we've lived off since 1978. We opened up taps in 1978, pipeline days.
I was at pump station one when we turned it on.
Turned it on. A big deal.
Yeah.
So you could go to any one of those pump stations and go up to one of those valves, and they got a little hose there, and you can take a jar and get a sample of that black oil.
Black gold.
Black gold. Listen, that oil has generated more revenue for this state than anything else we've ever done in Alaska. And it's two-thirds empty.
So how would you go about opening up more?
Well, again, I talked to you earlier. I mentioned mm-hmm. tax policy is a big issue for the companies. There isn't I understand investments, long-term investments. And one of the things, if you're on the short haul and every year you're subject for your tax policy to change, you're not going to be overly excited about putting a lot of dollars in front of that. You're going to take those dollars where they can gain the greatest amount of return. They're in the business to what? Make money. I don't begrudge anybody for wanting to make money. I want to make more money for them.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, that's what I want to do. I want them to be very, very rich, and I want Alaskans to benefit from it.
You have an inbred jealousy with the different corporations, be it oil, seafood, right, whatever.
Right.
If they believe if they're making too much money, that, oh goodness, that's our money. And it's just there, and it's hard to get through a mindset of, hold it, this is what they're doing, this is what we agree to. You know, we get the first 12% revenue,
right,
no matter if it's water, they're paying us royalty value for it.
That's right.
And then we put taxes on top of it.
That's right.
So we get them twice.
The taxes we put on it have to have certainty.
Yeah.
They need to know that in the next 2 years or the next year when the new legislature shows up, that you're not going to have a junior legislature come in and talk everybody into how terrible the world is and how the oil companies are taking all the profits out of state and Alaskans are suffering from it. I want the relationship to be equally mutually favorable for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be about Alaskans. When we sit at the table with the industry, I want the industry to look at us and say, I want to help take care of your people too. It's a relationship. And again, what they haven't had certainty in their tax policy. We have never done that. It changes with the weather, and as quick as the weather changes,
it does.
And that's why we're where we're at today. That you got 2/3 of the pipeline, they're letting it go empty, because they don't have certainty behind the business model that they're in. So let's talk to them about the business model. Let's work on revenue. The state of Alaska needs to develop more oil. We do. We have to produce more oil. We need to. We need to put more oil on the pipeline, period. End of story.
Yeah.
Simple as that. We have state leases in the state. The feds are leaning on us about those federal leases, and they're telling us we can't operate and we can't develop them. Okay. We got some state leases that we should be going after just as aggressively or more aggressively than anything else we do tomorrow. We need relationships, and it's about relationships, regardless of what kind of issues you're dealing with. And what I want to do is be the governor that creates the opportunity to sit down and work a deal, make a deal. Let's make a deal for who? For all Alaskans. So if you're in the fishing industry, I want to make your life better through the dollars that help pay for schools and help pay for roads. And the last thing you want, you could be in the fishing industry and be faced with a tax.
You know, I always look at, I'm a real estate broker, so I look at a taking as eminent domain. You have to pay the person you're taking from.
Right.
So with our statehood compact,
there you go.
My thought would be, I'm going to start suing the federal government for taking half of the NPR
right.
off the table.
Thank you.
Now you're going to pay us on an annual basis now, not all at once, because we're just going to spend it all, but, you know, a couple $1 billion a year. For what you just did to us. That's my thought anyway.
Well, I appreciate that, David, because that's exactly what we need to do. The legal department under my administration will be very actively paying attention to what's going on a national level and in state level from the Fed, from the federal governments. And it won't take weeks or months to figure out that they've harmed us. And then a question, and certainly you want to strategize and you want to use care and thoughtfulness in what we do. I'm not going to be a train wreck of a governor. Not. I'm going to protect this state and the interest of the state and the people in the state. We're entitled to some things that the federal government's in our way.
Yeah.
And I think I like your idea about, there's a loss. You're causing some losses there, and you're obligated to help us pay
for it. It's eminent domain.
It is. It is. It sure is.
Anyway.
Yeah.
From here, where do you go?
We're going up to Barrow. We're headed to Barrow next week and the end of the week, and we're going to spend a few days up there, and then we go over to Ketchikan, and then we're going to try to get to Cordova.
See, you go from the very top to the very bottom. That's a lot of Alaska Airlines air miles there.
It is. And, you know, I would say that we're using our air miles to take us everywhere in Alaska. The wife and I have lots of air miles, and we're using them.
Yeah.
And it's helped paying the bills. But certainly, I suspect that if I expect our team to be in the final four. And
I expect you to be there, too.
I do.
And I congratulate you now for the campaign you've run, a very well one.
Thank you. I think the thing that you do when you run is, look, I respect our governor. He's our governor. And, you know, I like Mike. He's a nice guy. But I also think that Mike and I have some philosophical differences in how we would approach and take care of issues. And I'm being very selfish when I say I want better days for Alaska. And I'm being selfish. And so if not me, then who? And if not when, now, then when? And I like ranked choice voting. I like my options or my ability to give me an advantage under ranked choice voting. And I don't like ranked choice voting. I like the traditional way of voting a candidate in and out. And I never voted for ranked choice voting. I haven't met anybody that will claim that they did. But at the same time, so I wouldn't, if I got into the office, I would work very hard to get rid of it. I'm also not a guy that promotes a vote by mail. I think then as a state, we should try to get rid of that as well. If we want integrity in our voting systems, you know, I kind of like, there's things we did before, long ago, that we kind of created, processes that we created that seemed to work very well and that were trusted. They had that trust. And I think as a voter, I want to get the trust back. Edie Grunwald is going to look at the systems. We're going to do a forensic audit on the machines and the processes that are there. And we're going to get some answers for the people of Alaska. And you know what? If you have a question and you deserve an answer as a resident of the state. So we're going to be very, very frontline, very focused on being out there in front, coming on to radio stations like this to answer tough questions. Along the way, we're not going to hide from the people. We are the leadership of the state, and we'll act accordingly.
You know, it's interesting. Our state, I think our voting is very good, you know, the system. You have to have an ID unless they know you. Mm-hmm. And I hear this, oh, that's you know, biased. It's you know, racist. And right. This. And I say, right. No, hold it. You know, if you're in a little village, everyone knows everyone.
Right.
Simple as that. You know, when I to me, voting is a big thing. And when I walk in, I'm pulling out my ID, my voter registration card.
Right.
And they go, that's okay, David. You don't have to show it. We know who you are. I go, no, I want to do this. I am honored to do this.
Right.
And right. It's I think we have a very good system. That system has changed.
It has.
It really has.
Well, I think that there's groups of people that found that they could change it so that they can manipulate the outcomes.
Yes.
And so let's. I've always said, you know what? When you're playing sports, there's someone that's going to win and there's someone that's going to lose.
But you play the game.
But do it honorably.
Yeah.
Always do it honorably. Don't cheat. We grew up and we were raised to never cheat. And so somewhere along the way, we've kind of let go of some of our characters and our standards. And again, I think we need to get some of those back.
Mayor, we got about 2 minutes left. How do you want to end it, sir?
Well, you know what? You can reach me on Charlie Pierce for governor, and I know that it'll click. It'll forward to a number of different there's interconnections there that connect you, get you where you need to go. So don't be so concerned if something else pops up. It'll take you there. And then on that page, one of the things that we commonly have to say, and again, if I were a very, very rich man, I would never ask for a dollar from you, but it takes money to run a campaign, and if you'd be so kindly to throw a 10 or a 20 at us, it would help buy signs and buy some radio ads. One of the things we're going to do next, we're putting signs up right now, and then we need to put some budgets together so we can run some radio ads, and we could use some help on that as well. But campaigns are expensive. I know that both Edie and I are carrying kind of the dollar, carrying the cost of running a campaign, get through the primary, and I believe that after we're through the primary, that the general will come and some additional funds will come as well.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Greatly appreciate you being on the show. It's always a pleasure. I expect to see you again for the general.
You will.
And I expect to have you on the show again. I really enjoyed the interviews.
Absolutely.
You're well-spoken. You have a good vision for the state of Alaska.
Yeah, thank you.
So appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. You have a great day and enjoy Fairbanks, Alaska.